Hey everybody, it's Kath. I want to welcome you to Backstory Sessions. This is episode 16, and we have an amazing story today. I can't wait for you to hear about this. I can't even believe it hardly when I was reading about this happening, but it's about a lady who gets her college degree at 92 years old. Now, if that is not motivating, I don't know what is. And I'm joined today by my co-host Matt, of course.
Hello, everyone.
Yeah. And we generally start backstory sessions, if it's the first time you're listening, with the backstory of how our episode came to be. So for this one, it's kind of taken from Matt's story. And he did not like school so much during his teenage years, like many people. But when we wrote about it in Unstoppable, there was a meeting with your mom, Matt. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so I had decided that I wanted to leave school. I think I was 15, and in order to do that, my mother had to actually sign me out. So she came to school with me one day and met with the principal and one of my teachers, and we got through the process. It wasn't fun. She was pretty disappointed, as you can imagine. But I did it, and that's really the story.
Yeah, so that backstory kind of leads us into the story we're going to talk about today. It's a little different circumstance, and you're not 92 yet, so
Yeah.
but you will be someday. But still, it's a backstory about the different things in life that happen that make us make decisions, and then how we get to achieve our goals at some point. Sometimes they're delayed, sometimes not. But this is a fascinating story, and it has so many backstories. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce our guest who's going to be telling us this great story today. And welcome, Miss Jocelyn Flynn, to Backstory Sessions.
Hey, Kat and Matt, thank you for having me.
We're so excited to hear the story. It on so many levels, it is intriguing and fascinating, and we cannot wait to hear it. The first thing I want to know, because this is going to cover obviously a large time span, but this story is about your grandmother, Opal Todd.
Yes.
And what's your first memory of her?
So my first memory, I'm trying to think, because I'm going to be 39 pretty soon. So you think, what is your first honest memory that someone didn't tell you that you remember on your own? And it would be being a little girl playing in the backyard at my mom and dad's house, and her keeping me on Tuesdays because I was off from the doctor's office that she worked at, and we would always get a ball and play kickball and throw the ball up in the air. I would probably be about 4 or 5 years old, and I can remember her throwing the ball as high as she could. She's only 4'11", so I don't know how high that was, but her throwing the ball as high as she could in the air, and then me trying to catch it or bounce it off my head, I guess. And that would be my earliest memory, and as warm as we could possibly stand it outside to play, even fall and winter, playing with that ball. That's my earliest memory that I can think of her,
So
playing ball
obviously,
outside.
having that memory at 4 or 5, and now you're 30, going to be 39 on Halloween. I remember your birthday, Halloween,
Thank
which
you.
is actually the day Matt and I met. So it's kind of
Oh,
interesting. But
awesome.
that sort of sets the stage, I think, for you must have been close with your grandmother for most of your life. You have a
Yes.
special bond.
Absolutely. You know, I need to get friends my own age, but she's one of my best friends, and she still is. You know, she's 92 and she's still one of my best friends. So yes, always we've had a close bond, a grandmother granddaughter bond, but we're friends. We have a lot in common. We share a lot of the same humor, and she's always someone that I knew I could tell things to and trust. And I feel like she's always someone who told me things and she knew she could trust me. So yeah, we're not just family, we're buddies, and I've always appreciated that.
Yeah, that's a great quality to have, and not everybody has that. And so that kind of brings me to her early beginning. So, she was in an orphanage. So what happened to lead to that?
So we don't know. The stories that I know are from my late father. My dad died in December of 06. And so these are stories he told me as a kid, and then stories she's told me, and especially in just the past few years, spending the night in the hospital, she had procedures or things going on, but we don't know. And it's not really something she wanted to talk about. And you know, you always have that lingering question of wonder what happened to her mom and dad. But it hurt her feelings. It upsets her to talk about it. And it was one of those things that as a family, my mom, my brother and I, my husband, we all just sort of looked at each other and we finally said, you know, it doesn't matter enough to upset her. We know they died when she was a toddler. She was probably 3 or 4 years old. And the way she tells it, she was 3 or 4 years old. She had a brother and sister, and it was the Great Depression because she was born in 1928. And so this had been around 1931, 32 when they died. And she was fortunate enough that she had aunts and uncles that took her and her brother and sister in. And there's that time in Georgia, Cedartown, Georgia, where she was born, they were probably lucky enough to feed their own children. And just, she said she was from pillar to post, going from family member to family member who tried to help them. And they had the great fortune of the women of the Methodist Church ran a Methodist orphanage in Cedartown. They found them. I'm not sure if the family called them or if someone just told them about them, but they took them into the Methodist orphanage. And she said things changed when we went in that orphanage. She said we got good food, we had warm beds, didn't get a pillow. That was something she always talked about. And she has a pillow now in the nursing home, but I can remember spending the night with her as a little girl and she didn't have pillows on her bed. And she said, well, I never had a pillow growing up. I don't sleep with a pillow. I'm not used to it. That's uncomfortable
Oh,
for my
wow.
neck. Yeah, and so she always said that she didn't know if she just didn't get a pillow in the orphanage or if nobody got a pillow, but she didn't get one. And so but she said that she got the chance to go to school because she got to live in that orphanage. And so that was a major turning point. They had to work. I know they worked in gardens and even fields to earn their keep to live in an orphanage, but with that work, they got warm meals, warm beds, and they got a chance to go to school and to learn. And that meant a whole lot to her. And so that's when things turned around for her. As a little kid, and we actually have a picture from MyHeritage of her signing the census, I think when she's like 6 or 7 years old, and her residence is that orphanage. So we don't know what happened to her parents, but we know that they both passed away and that she came to find herself in the orphanage there in Cedartown. So.
Well, this is kind of a theme that seems to run through the story, is that for the bad things that seem to happen, there seems to be a plan for her life. And so she goes to this orphanage, and then you say that's a turning point because, as I understand it, there's a recruiter from Union College that comes there.
The president, yeah,
Oh.
actually the president, Mr. Conway, I want to say doctor, but I'm not sure if he had his PhD then, but Mr. Conway Boatman, you know who the chapel's named after at Union
Yes.
College in Barbourville, traveled from Barbourville to Cedartown to her orphanage when she was a senior in high school and said, because it's a Methodist college in Barbourville, and said, you know, we've got a good Methodist school and you're here at a good Methodist orphanage. Is there anyone here who is smart or athletic? Because we're offering scholarships to those kinds of students. And she said that she raised her hand and said, I'm both. And he said, well, let's get you signed up. And because she was in glee club, she was a cheerleader in high school, and she was actually salutatorian of her high school class.
Wow.
You know, yeah. And so she got the opportunity to come to Union on both academic and athletic via cheerleading scholarships. And so that's where the opportunity came, because he came visiting at her orphanage on a day she was there, and she got signed up. And by that fall, she was riding a train to Union College to start school there in the fall of 1945.
So has she ever said, or what's your thoughts on his coming there and this turning point? Do you feel like that was fate or just?
Don't you think? I mean, absolutely. I mean, for her, I think that I mean, and to talk to her now, she's really smart. I mean, you can ask her one thing and she'll give you the backstory of it. And of course, now we have phones, you can Google, and you're like, is Granny really, is Granny, because we call her Granny Opal. Is Granny Opal really right? And it's like, she is. And it's not because she's got a phone to Google it. It's because she lived it and she knows it. And she knows the backstory of it. But yeah, so I think that she had always been interested in school and excelled at school. She was number two in her high school class. And it certainly it's not because, anybody was probably helping her in the orphanage with her studies. She just was naturally good at it. And to think that she happened to be there that day when someone from a college came down recruiting, and to be a woman in 1945 to get an opportunity to go to college. I mean, I just think, well, it kind of sounds far-fetched. You know what I mean? I mean, it all just kind of sounds like, what's the chances of all this happening? So I think it has to be fake, don't you think? Because I just think it sounds kind of far-fetched to me, don't you?
As I hear the story, and then I was reading about it, I definitely kept seeing that element. This seems like fate,
Yeah.
more than coincidence. But
Yeah.
so she gets on the train and she comes to Union College,
Yeah.
and well, I mean, it's fascinating even that she, raised her hand and was strong enough to, to say I'm both. I mean, that speaks a lot about her too, to
Yeah.
realize her strengths and to take advantage of that opportunity. And so she gets to college, and so is she continuing in success there?
She did. And as you're saying, not unlike herself, Kat, she's a social butterfly who has the gift of gab. She's a big talker. She's a big talker. So that's not any surprise to any of us that she would have raised her hand and said, I'm both, because she's a pretty big talker. She doesn't know a stranger. And so she came to campus and made lots of friends. She cheered all year she was there, did well in all her classes, all 4 years she was there. And she tells a story of making friends. And I think most of these ladies were from Barbourville making friends. And they went to see a movie, I'm assuming the movie theater that was downtown near the courthouse, and they didn't make it back in time. And she was the last one in the door to the dorm room that night. And I guess the hall monitor or the dorm monitor caught her, and she got in trouble. She didn't make it in for a curfew, and so she wasn't allowed to go out for a week. And she wasn't happy about that, because that was a whole lot of socializing that she missed. But no, she took her studies pretty seriously. And I can even remember being a kid doing my homework, and as she was studying to become an English teacher. And so she not unlike yourself, she knows English very well, to speak it and to write it. And so she took it very serious. But no, she took socializing pretty serious too, and enjoyed meeting people. And I guess maybe when you don't have a lot of family of your own, she kind of had to create her own family on campus. And part of the family she met was her husband, my grandfather, Herman Tighe. And as we were told, from someone who knew both of them, he was on campus. I don't know if, I think he may have still been a student there. Maybe he was a freshman, or he was a senior when she was a freshman, or maybe he was a senior when she was a sophomore, I'm not sure. He saw her walking across campus, and he said, I've got to meet that woman. I've got to meet her. And so he ran across campus to meet her, and from that point on, they started dating. And so, which kind of leads to the last part of the story, was that he entered law school. So he was in law school while she was still completing her degree at Union. And when he graduated, he took his bar exam in February of her senior year. So she was like 3 months from graduating, and they married in February. And as she says it, she said, well, you didn't stay in school when you got your MRS, your missus, you know, you're not married. She said it wasn't proper. So she said, so I left school. And you know, of course, I'm sitting here going, Granny Opal, you were going to graduate in May. I mean, what would it have mattered? You know, like 3 more months. But that's what she said. And so, you know, I think Union, of course, meant a whole lot to them. They bought property and built their house across the street from Union College, which is the house, of course, that I grew up in. My mom still lives in. So Union meant a whole lot to them that they met there. And so, yeah, she'd been there for over 3.5 years completing her degree. And he passed the bar exam, was ready to start his law practice, and they got married and it was time to start a family. And so she left school.
So was this love at first sight, you think?
I think so. And that's my understanding. Yeah. Love at first, just seeing each other across campus. And so they married in February, and my dad was born in November. So they probably hadn't been married maybe 6 weeks, maybe 2 months, and before they got pregnant with my dad. So they built a family pretty quick.
You know, that's exactly my parents got married in February, and I was born in November as well.
So. Okay, Kat, so you know what I'm talking about.
I do. Like,
okay.
So, you know, I'm thinking again, there's like an element of fate. He sees her and they hit it off, and you know, everything seems to be falling well into place. And it must have been, I mean, I guess with the time, because it's really hard to imagine, you know, that she would leave college with the 3 months to graduate.
Yes.
It's also kind of hard to imagine just not that long ago, you know, of having curfews and things like that for girls or women in college, because, you know, it really, even when I was in college, the girls had a curfew, the guys did not. So, you know, it might be hard to imagine that if you're in this time right now, but it hasn't been that long ago that women, you know, had different rules to go by than now. And so you look at it in that perspective, it's not really that hard to understand how she could have left college with the 3 months, I think, remaining.
That's true. Well, absolutely. Because I imagine, I guess you go live with your husband. I don't know how, which they have the married housing. I don't know how that works. Yeah, I wasn't married in college. So the second time I went to college to be a nurse, I was, but obviously that was in modern times. You know, you drive in, you drive home. Yeah, I don't know how that would have worked then either. I guess maybe if you look at it, it was February of 1949. Maybe that would have been improper to have had a wedding band on your hand. I don't know. Yeah, that's hard, but I can't imagine that now. That blows my mind. Yeah.
All right. So then your dad and so they have one child, two children.
Yeah, and then my aunt. Yeah, about 4 years later. And so my grandfather builds a successful law practice. They build a home, as my granny says. You know, they hosted lots of parties. My grandfather, I won't say who, but his college roommate was at the time, when he was his roommate, was going, you know, was a future governor of Kentucky. So they hosted the governor of Kentucky.
Wow.
Because they were buddies with him. Yeah. And his wife. Right. Yeah. Not because of just because they became friends in school. Right.
Sure.
And so, yeah, so it was just pretty cool. But they had totally different beliefs, but they were buddies because they were friends. You know what I'm saying? And that was always something she instilled in me, is see beyond people's differences, you know, see beyond your differences. You'll make your best friends that way. And she still sees that way. You know what I mean? Is get beyond those differences. You'll make your best friends that way. And so, and she talks about helping people. She said, you know, people would come into my grandfather's law office and be like, we need help. And she said, well, we didn't have any money. She said, people assume he's a lawyer. We had money. She's like, well he was a brand new lawyer. And she said, we were paying off the bills from his law school. And so what's interesting is my dad was Josh. My son is Josh. Well, my dad was named Josh because his uncle, Josh Ty, had lent my grandfather the money to pay for law school. Well, that was lent. They had to pay that back. That was a loan. And she said, we were very much paying those loans back for his law school. And she said, so people would come in and ask for money, assuming we had it. And she said, well, your grandfather couldn't tell anyone no. And she said, "Well, where's it going to come from?" She said, "Well, but we had a, you know, we had access to good food via my great grandmother's garden." She said, "So we could cook." And she said, "You know, you wouldn't believe the number of Saturdays we spent in a 90-degree kitchen I grew up in, cooking meals and passing them out the back screen door to people of
Wow.
all races, all religions, places that other people wouldn't give them anything because they didn't like how they lived, didn't like how they looked." And she said, "We were handing out plates of food to people because they were hungry and they didn't have anything." And she said, "Because, you know, your grandfather and I, we didn't tell anybody no." And she said, "Sometimes that wasn't convenient, but," she said, "it was the right thing to do." And that's the kind of person she is. And, you know, and it kind of gives you chills because you think, and in my head, I can see that metal screen door that, you know, you watch your fingers gonna get cut off if it closes too fast on you. But I can see her little 4'11" self, you know, covering the paper plate or whatever they had then with the paper towel, handing it to people. And then here's one more. And my very large grandfather, you know, dipping it out and handing it to. I can see families lining up at that back door. And her doing that because she painted such a picture of that. And I can see her wiping the sweat off her forehead and fanning herself with the apron where they'd cooked all day. And that's what she said they did. She said, "Well, we didn't have any money to give them, but we could give them food. We could cook for them because we knew that would provide at least a meal that day to help people out." And so that's the kind of life they lived. And unfortunately, though, by the time my dad was about 20 or 19 years old and a student at Union College, my grandfather, who was in his 40s, died of a massive heart attack.
Yeah.
And so she was widowed. Yeah, and she was a young lady. She was like 42, younger than my husband is now. And so, yeah, so she had a teenager and one who was my dad, who was early in college. And so, you know, life was changed very different. We had somebody from building a career and them giving the handouts to things changed. And so, you know, I think she said she always intended to go back and get her college degree, and it never happened because it was time she had kids to get their college degrees. And so it worked out that she lived across the street from Union College. She could go get a job there, and that could afford her a great discount to send her kids to school at Union. And so that's what she did. She went and took a job at the registrar's office, and my dad could complete his schooling, and my aunt could complete her schooling, and they both did. They got degrees from Union because she worked there. And so, and then by the time my aunt graduated, we actually looked up. She went back and took a class. She would have been close to 50 years old and took a class in public health, which is, you know, so applicable for now, you know, to work toward finishing her degree that she had not finished in 1949. So this would have been the 70s at this point. Yeah, so things were very different. Things definitely changed, but she's a trooper. She knew she's had to adapt her whole life, and so she adapted then.
Well, and so it seems like, you know, again, it's something unexpected, but also she manages to make something good from it.
Yeah.
She gets your dad through college,
Yes.
and she gets another class, which shows, you know, education is still, and that degree is
Yes.
still something that's important to her.
Yes.
You know, the passing of your grandfather, I'm sure, must have been a really hard thing for her.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I guess when you've already, like, her whole life, I'm sure she doesn't even remember, because she says she doesn't remember her parents. So, like, you grew up without something that everybody else has. I mean, I know that your mom and dad, you know, meant the world to you. And my dad meant the world. You know, I mean, if you have parents, typically they mean the world to you. And if you don't have them and you hear everybody talk about that, that's something you know was very much missing from your life. And so she had to build and create her own family. And yeah, so she was devastated. But I think in her mind, it wasn't, she didn't have time to feel sad about her husband because she had to keep, because education was so important. In the very least, just for the education part, she in her mind, "I got to get these kids educated." That's in my mind what happened. And that's what she did. It was like, "What can I do that I can make sure my children get college degrees?" Is that's kind of how I took it, as how she lived her life, how she was making her choices. And but not only that, she did a great job at the registrar. And what's interesting is, you know, my mom, who was very much not her daughter-in-law at the time, and very much not mating. She didn't even know my dad at the time. So my mom, Evelyn, was a senior in college and talks about going in and seeing Opal Granny. She didn't know. By the way, I use her name. We call her interchangeable. She's Granny Opal, Opal Granny. I know that doesn't make sense, but that's what we've always done. Sorry. That's what we call her. Yeah. So anyways, and going in, and one of my mom's final scores from an art teacher hadn't been put in, and mom couldn't graduate. And so Granny Opal, because she can't get anybody to answer the phone, like marches across campus to the art teacher's room and says, you know, we need this score. We have a girl here who's not going to graduate if you don't submit this score. I mean, this is not her daughter-in-law. She doesn't really know my mom. Does that make sense? I mean, it's just like, that's the kind of person she is. Like, that's who Granny Opal is. I mean, she's just someone who gets it done. She takes it serious. Like, it meant as much to her as it did my mom that my mom get that college degree. And it wasn't because that was her daughter-in-law, although she ended up being her daughter-in-law one day. You know, that's what's so interesting. It's just like example after example of Granny Opal having a commitment to excellence in her work, in her education, because she cared about people and because she wanted to do the right thing to help people. You know, education was important to her, but people were important to her too. You know, she connected with people. She cared about people's well-being. So anyways, yeah, that's very interesting to me is that, even just an example there is it's not because it was her daughter-in-law. She didn't know who my mom was, but that's just the kind of person she was. She did a good job. She worked hard, and mom getting that degree meant as much to her, as it did to mom. So.
Well, and then, for her too, how does it happen? And then how does your mom end up meeting your dad?
So I'm not entirely sure on this story, but I think maybe like mutual friends that went to Union said, hey, you all need to meet each other. Now I'm not prepared for that one. See, I've got my notes on Granny Opal today, but not necessarily on the Josh and Evelyn Ty story. They don't have to be another. But I think mutual friends introduced them because they didn't marry till they were like 26 years old.
I think it's interesting, you know, that your mom, like whenever she does meet your dad, whatever the circumstances, you know, that she already knows probably this is going to be a great mother-in-law because what she's done for me already.
That's right.
It's a stranger.
So. Yeah. And this would have been years, because mom graduated from college when she was like 19 or 20. So this would have been like 6 or 7 years later that mom and dad were married. So this would have been years later, but absolutely. Sure.
That's a really interesting, another connection to the whole story. I think it's just fascinating how it all, you know, sort of ties.
Ties. Yeah.
Word there. How it ties together. I mean, this is really interesting. So, you know, to skip ahead to what made you, you're a central part of this story. What are you doing just one day thinking, what is it that causes you to even consider checking to see if maybe your grandmother, you know, can graduate?
Okay. So I've always wondered, I guess, some things we just accept the way things are. We get used to things. That's a generic statement. That didn't come out sounding very educated, but my grandfather was an attorney. My mom and dad both graduated from Union. I have a college degree. I have two college degrees. My brother has a college degree. I have a niece with a college degree. My nephew's working on it. My other first cousins, my granny's other grandsons, college degrees, right? We just sprinkling them everywhere. Everybody's got a college degree. Well, Granny Opal doesn't have one. And I'm like, okay, like who's this? Probably the smartest of all of us is her. And so, 2020, interesting year.
Really? Why is that?
2020, interesting. Not only you notice, it's been a bit of a different year. So, Granny Opal's in the nursing home. And almost a year ago, she had pneumonia. She had a fall, had pneumonia. And she went from she needed to be in the nursing home because she had just she needed a little bit of help with her walking and a little bit of help with her medications, that sort of thing. So she needs a lot of help with it, that the pneumonia very much disabled her, and it was determined that she is a candidate for hospice. Okay. That was about December of last year, December of 19. Okay, so we visit Opal Granny frequently. My mom and I do. My brother, my husband, I all the time anyway. Okay, so we visit her once a week. Well, in March that all ended, right? Because
Right.
everything is shut down for the safety of patients, for the safety of all our communities. We've stopped visiting. And so for at least 6 weeks, I didn't see her. And then they did open it up on limited cases if a family member is designated hospice, which she was. But that ended too in June because her nursing home had a COVID outbreak. And so even if you're hospice, if your nursing home has a COVID outbreak to protect the community, no one is allowed to go visit. Okay. So it went from sharing meals with her, sharing time with her, to I don't get to see her anymore. Okay. And like I said, she's not just my granny, she's one of my best friends.
And
And
this has been
so,
your whole life. I mean, you have memories since 4 or 5, she's been there.
yes. Other than when I lived in Northern Kentucky and maybe some time in college, there's been some times that I might have gone 6 weeks without seeing her, but that wasn't, trust me, I didn't like it. Okay. I've always tried to see her as frequently as I possibly could. Right. And especially knowing that she's been designated hospice and that her time on earth is limited. Right. And it bothered me a whole lot. And also, you know, so I can't see her anymore. And so it's like, what can I do? Because when we go visit her, we also do things to try to help her. She has wonderful, wonderful nursing staff where she lives. They're her friends. They care for her. But we like to help her too, whether it's helping her do her nails, you know, helping her pick out a menu, buying her gifts, whatever it is, right? And so it's like, how much food can you buy from Walmart? How much food from Amazon can get delivered to her room, right? And so at some point, it's like, I'm being driven insane because I can't help her. I'm not there, right? And so the idea that has always kind of mingled in the back of my head about her not having a college degree really came to the front of my head and said, you know, what would it hurt just to ask? And honestly, I didn't know what the answer was going to be. I thought that they might say, well, you know, she's missing 15. I didn't know what the answer was going to be. They could have told me, look, she was here for 4 years and she didn't have 20 credits. I didn't know. I thought, well, they may say, well, that's nice of you to ask about her getting a college degree. We can offer her a certificate, right? I didn't know, but I thought it's going to be a no as long as no one asks. She's going to forever not have a college degree as long as nobody asks for it. So I talked to my mom about it, and my mom and I are friends with my mom, very good friends with. It's my mom's neighbor, Janie Skidmore, who is a board member at Union College. And we asked her what she thought we should do. And she said, well, I'll go talk to the president of Union College about it, Dr. Marcia Hawkins, and we'll see what she says that you should do about it. And I said, wow, that's a pretty good start. Okay. That sounds good to me. And so that's what she did. And Janie called us back a week or so later and said, I have a meeting for you on the 4th of July outside, of course, because it's pandemic. It's because it's 2020. It's pandemic. COVID-19 time. And she said, under a tree on 4th of July, I have a meeting for you set up with Dr. Marcia Hawkins for you to ask about your granny's college degree.
Wow.
And so I'm like a nervous wreck. We get all dressed up. You know, I don't know what's going to be said. All I
What are
know is
you thinking? Like, I mean, is there any part of your mind that's imagining they're going to say, yes, this is
no, I think they're going to
possible?
tell me no. No, I think they're going to tell me
Okay.
no. No, I think they're going to be like, this is really nice, but we just don't do that. Like we're not really in the business of handing out college degrees for people who left school early. But you know what? That's okay. Guess what? It was a no already, right? I mean, that's what I'm thinking. It's
Right.
already a no because, as far as I can see, we don't have any college degrees on any walls that say Opal Tie, right? So, like,
Right.
they tell me no, well, it was already no, right? And again, I miss her dearly. I mean, that's the thing. I'm used to seeing her once a week. I miss the woman dearly. This is like, it's in my heart. Like, I know that's not the same thing as spending time with her. Trust me, she'd rather see her once a week than have a college degree. As proud as she was to get it, she'd rather have spent time with us.
Sure.
Okay. But guess what? That's not how things worked out. So we walk over, we cross the street, and before I can even open my mouth, Dr. Marcia Hawkins says, I just want you to know that we called the registrar and we pulled Opal Clark Tye, your grandmother's college records. And we've already called. She has more than enough credits for a college degree. We've already called and ordered it.
Wow.
And so I immediately start crying with my mask on. I'm bawling. My mask is catching my tears and my snot. And I'm crying. And she's like, "Well, I'm really glad you cried because I can see this means a whole lot to you." I really didn't expect that. I just didn't. She said, "Well, it turns out in 1949, when she left, she was trying to become a teacher. And I think all that she lacked was her student teaching. That was it. And, she did go back and take the class in the 70s in public health, which added some hours. I'm not entirely sure if that's what put her over, but the difference between 1949 and perhaps the 70s and 2020 is in 2020, the degree of general studies exists now at Union College. You can get a bachelor's degree in general studies, as many colleges have. Well, that didn't exist back then. And so it exists now. And so that's the difference. That's the difference, is that she had more than enough credits to get a degree in general studies. She had more than enough credits for a bachelor's degree in general studies, just not enough in the particular degree she was hoping to graduate with in May of 1949. That's it. That's the only difference. All it took was really someone asking. That's all it took.
Wow.
I know. And I thought, goodness gracious, I have sat here and sweated and been so nervous and been so convinced it was going to be a no for Granny Opal. Not that she, because I didn't call her and tell her I was doing all that, because she would have been like, "What are you doing? Don't fool." You know what I mean? Don't fool with that. Goodness, it's been 70 years. What's the big deal now, right?
Right.
Even though she had mentioned multiple times, "I wish I had stayed and finished my degree. I wish I had stayed and finished my degree." She said that my whole life. Okay. That's come out of her mouth multiple times. I just was convinced it was going to be a no. And then it was a yes. And it just came to find out it was really just because no one had asked. That's why. I mean, the answer had been she had enough. Whenever Union College created the degree of general studies is when she had enough credits to get it, I guess. That's when she would have qualified for that degree. So had we never asked, she would have never gotten it. And I mean, they're not in the business of looking everybody up to make sure everyone's got their degree. That's kind of your responsibility to ask, I guess. But yeah, just because we asked. And had I not been separated from her for her for nearly 3 months when her nursing home unfortunately had an outbreak, I would have never had the time for it to have been put on my heart to ask. So
You're
that's kind of how it
standing
happened that day.
there and you hear the good news and you're crying.
Yeah.
And when do you, what do you do next? Do you
So they confirm that they have ordered her a degree, and so we the next day we I call Granny Opal on FaceTime, and we say, "Well, that college degree you always said you wish you'd finished." We're like, "Well, you're getting it now. You've always had enough credits to get a bachelor's degree, and the president of Union College is ordered your college degree. You're going to get it." And we have a letter, because she immediately sent us an emailed us a letter that we could print that said, "Opal Clark Tye, you've always been a bulldog. Now you're a graduate." It said a lot of other nice things too, but that was the main thing. You've always been a bulldog. Now you're a graduate. And we just want you to know, Granny Opal, you're going to get a graduation soon, which she did. Dr. Hawkins did a virtual graduation with Granny Opal via Zoom with a cap, and I don't know if you see, I think you have the pictures, you
yes.
posted them on the, but with her cap and gown and balloons and her certificate. And we said, "But you're going to get it." And Granny Opal's response was, "Well, it's about time." Which is very much Granny Opal. That's her. That's her personality. Well, it's about time. So she was very excited. I don't think that she completely grasped how much it was on TV. She knew it was on TV, but I don't think that she like understands how much it was on TV. Just because we didn't want to like freak her out that like it was on TV several times. She might have been mad at us over that. She not that she didn't enjoy the attention, but she if she had known that it was on like WKYT and WYMT like 6 or 7 times, she might have been mad at us over that. So we didn't really sell that part of it to her too much, because she might have been a little bit mad at us over that. So we
Right.
didn't. We showed it. We made sure that the nurses, because again, all this happened when her nursing home was shut down. We weren't allowed in there. That's why the graduation was done via Zoom. Her nursing home home didn't open up for like 6 weeks, maybe 2 months after she graduated. So, but we made sure that the nurses had the TV on at least once when they were talking about her story, so she got to see it. So, yeah, but that was her answer. It's about time. So, yeah, and so we, and so Janie Skidmore and Blair Skidmore and Barberville had it nicely framed for her as a gift. It's, yeah, to me, it's just, she's an incredible person. And like I said, it really kind of sounds far-fetched, kind of like her whole life story does. I mean, 1949 to 1920, I don't know. That's a long time to wait. I mean, she left in 1949. She started in 1945. That's a long time to wait on your college degree. But she got it. She got it. And she worked for it really hard in the 40s. And it was just a matter of that degree requirement changed, that they do now have the degree of general studies, and they didn't have it then. And so I really wish I could have seen her in June, July, and August when her nursing home was closed down. I really wish they hadn't been hit by COVID, and she lost friends in the nursing home to COVID. So there's nothing good from that. But if there's a silver lining from being separated from one of my best friends and from my granny, it was that it gave me time that I wasn't spent visiting with her. It gave me time to think about something that I think was important to her. I know was important to her, and it was important to her family. And I think it was, if nothing else, really seems to be inspirational to a lot of other people to either finish their degrees or, I don't know, to at least go ask for something that you might want, because who knows, the answer could be yes, and you just don't know it. So,
yeah, I think that's what struck me about the story is, you know, it's wonderful, and it's so unbelievable how it all unfolded. Yeah. And the things you've told us today, she's obviously an amazing person.
Yes.
Even more so than I realized just from what I read, but also the aspect of you and being able to give that gift to her. You know, I think that's also amazing. And I was touched on many levels by the story. So what does it mean to you to know that you were able to be instrumental in causing this to happen?
Well, I don't think I did anything. See, Kat, I don't think I did. To me, there's nothing. I didn't do anything special. Like to me, I didn't do anything special. She took all those classes in the 40s, and she was an athlete too. Gosh, I didn't do any athletics in college. I can't imagine. To me, and I had a mom and dad to cook me meals and send stuff home with me when I was in, you know, to support me. And when I was in school, she cooked her own stuff and supported herself. See, to me, I didn't do anything. To me, I was like a desperate person wanting to visit my granny and had to figure out, you know, I didn't do anything. I really didn't do anything. That's the way I see it. To me, somebody who had earned something got what they had earned, just like really, really delayed. That's the way I see it. Like, to me, she earned it. And to me, not only that, like, she has been, because we talk about how she was a cheerleader at Union. She's such a cheerleader for my brother's life, my life, my husband's life, you know, my cousins, my niece and nephew, my mom, my dad when he was living. She's such a cheerleader for people. She's such an encouragement, especially when it comes to education. She's such a cheerleader for those things. And you just think, well, goodness gracious, for somebody to encourage everybody else, she believes in education. She's such an encourager and a cheerleader for everyone else's education. For her not to have completed it. And then it turns out, well, she did complete it. It's just the question hadn't been asked yet. You know, she hadn't asked for what she had earned yet. That's what I think. To me, it's, and you know what? Why not now? To me, it's not unfortunate. To me, it's a great story. It's a motivational story for people to hear, because it's like, hey, you know, if you've been putting something off, go ahead and do it. If you've been wanting to ask for something, ask for it. Who knows? Maybe the answer is yes. So to me, I didn't do anything, but I'd maybe just be a conduit or just to help orchestrate, just ask the question. That's all I did. All I did was ask the question that needed to be asked. That's all I did. And that's just because she's not physically able anymore to get out and go ask, you know, the president of Union College for her degree. And of course she wouldn't have been allowed either. She wasn't allowed to leave a nursing home, but that's the way I see it, is I just asked the question that needed to be asked. And so, and I'm really glad I did.
sometimes, like you said earlier in the interview, she had the credits, but she didn't have the degree because nobody took the time to look. Nobody thought of it. So minus you really are a central part of the story, because no matter if your motivation was, and that's more beautiful to me, is that you're taking your grief of not being able to see her and turning that into action that's positive and has a really great outcome for her. So I definitely see you as a central part of this, because it's easy for us to dismiss the little things that we think we're doing that actually can change the whole direction of things. So that's sort of what I took away from your role in this story, is like, the actions that we do out of love or sometimes out of grief, they can have monumental impact on somebody else's life. So, she gets this diploma. Is it hanging on her wall now? Is that what do you?
It is, and her letter from the president of Union College, because we thought the letter was pretty nice too. The letter is what she got while she was waiting on the diploma, so we put them both up. They're both hanging up, yes, and even her, all her accoutrements from, because we get to go back in now because her nursing home is open back up again. Outside visitation if you're not hospice, but she is hospice, so my mother and I do get to go in. Although she does come out and visit my children at picnic tables too, because they're not allowed to go in. But yeah, so all her little accoutrements from her graduation are in her room. Yeah, and so no, I you're right. I think sometimes we do things out of grief, because we're sad and they turn out good. But I'll be honest, especially the interest that was taken in her story, I didn't. That's certainly not. We just wanted her to get her college degree. We wanted her to get the acknowledgement from Union College that she had earned a degree. But gosh, people have really been excited about her story, which I think is really cool, And I guess when you think about it, 49 to 20 is a long time. But yeah, and she doesn't really talk about it. I guess in her mind, she probably figures like, well, heck, I did earn the degree. You all just gave me my diploma, finally. To us, we're all like blown away by it. And she's like, well, it's about time. So I think in her mind, she's like, well, it's about time somebody gave me this degree. But it's been everybody around her, everyone she's raised has gotten mayors, and she's standing there clapping for everybody else. No, I'm just kidding. No, but yeah, no, she's really proud of it. And she was, and you can, I don't know if you've seen the pictures of the video of them doing the Zoom graduation. She was really pleased that day, and
I
clapping.
did. I did watch
Yeah,
that.
and clapping and laughing for herself. Yeah, she was pretty excited about that. So yeah, especially when she didn't get to see us for months. I think that was something to be excited about. And everyone in her nursing home, the social workers and the nurses and the doctors and the techs and the dietary staff, everybody was really excited. It was something, there's not a lot of stuff, especially there for a while, to look forward to. And it was something to be excited about, especially something kind of unusual and weird that was a good thing to be excited about. And so, and I'm glad that that was a gift to her, but really it was a gift to herself. She'd earned it herself, and so she finally was getting it. She just got it very delayed, and she might have appreciated it more when she was 21 years old and had earned it. But you know what? She got it at 92, and so what? At least at least she was she got to appreciate it. And so I know we sure do appreciate it. We really appreciate it, because the people at Union College could have told us, we don't have time to look into that, and that would have been okay. I mean, that's the answer I kind of expected. But everyone at the registrar's office, Dr. Hawkins, everybody, everyone at Union College went above and beyond to make that happen for her. It was pretty incredible. I mean, they really wanted Opal to get her degree. It was pretty amazing. I really expected to know, and it was really like an outstanding, yes, she's getting her degree. So we were really happy with it, and we really have a lot of gratitude toward Union College for acknowledging what my
Absolutely.
granny had
Sure.
had earned.
Well, and I think too, this is when I first read it, was reading about the different things you posted, I thought, this would be a great play. And I definitely think the story of her life, it has all these components that her impact could continue many, many years to come. And I think that's something, maybe Union would explore of when the Dana Boone Festival or whatever, when things open back up eventually, maybe it could be like an annual fundraising event for education department or something where they would stage this story of her life, because definitely I think it's of that magnitude of inspiration. And I think since education is so important to her, that would be very fitting for her legacy to continue. And I mean, what a life, what a story from the very beginning all the way through. It just seems like she, it's just the destiny for her to do great things and continue to influence people. So I've loved this story. And I guess my last question, I know Matt may have some as well, but what do you think your grandmother, if she could say something to our audience about dreams and fulfilling, a fulfilling life, what do you think she has to say?
Well, I think I would know because she's always full of very good advice. So, because I've been listening to it my whole life. Well, one of her favorite things to say is it's a small world, which is a great ride at Disney World if you haven't been on it, but it's a small world. And that goes to her social butterfly nature, her not meeting a stranger. And she's always said, it's a small world if you'll take the time to talk to people and ask enough questions. And that is always, which I think kind of, well, leads to asking about her getting her college degree. And she's a big believer in talking to people, finding out their, not unlike yourself, Kat, finding out their story. She wants to know everyone's story. Every person that works at that daggone nursing home, she can tell you where they're from, who their kids are, who their grandkids are, where they worked, where they went to school. She can tell you the good stuff and the bad stuff. She's all about making the connection. And she said, and it's not just about, well, to climb and get somewhere, but we can make a friend, but also sometimes when it comes to your education or your career or your dreams, when you make those connections can connect you to your dreams. They can connect you to something that is important to you or that could lead to success. And so that's what she always has said. It's a small world if you'll take the time to ask enough questions. And of course, I think we do that through social media a whole lot, but she was doing it before social media was a thing. And so I think that that's the main thing that I always try to think is sometimes we get tired and we don't want to fool with talking to people. You don't want to talk to that person at the grocery store or on social media or whatever. You think, hey man, I just want to do my own thing. But sometimes that one conversation, if you'll take the time to have it, will make your world a little smaller to make those connections to other people that you may already be connected with or that could connect you with something that could lead to you fulfilling a dream. So that's what I think is to make your world smaller by making connections to other people so that you can maybe make a friend or to fulfill your dreams. I think that's what she would say.
Very good advice, Matt. What
Yeah.
do you have to say about this amazing story?
So it is pretty amazing. I didn't realize that there was so much, so many twists and turns to it.
I know.
I think you guys have summed it up pretty well. my experience in school was a little bit different and went a different path. But it is what it is. I hope you'll pass along our congratulations to her because
Absolutely, absolutely, I will. Absolutely, yes,
yeah,
I
great.
will. She'll appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a really interesting story, and she's
Maybe she can tune into the podcast
that's
even.
I will I will I'm good when we have to make appointments to go up to her room next week. I will play it for her. She will very much enjoy this. I don't She probably won't be able to sit through the whole thing because the screen up. Well, she'll be ready for a nap. She is 92. Yeah, she is 92. But yeah, so but yeah, but I will play at least part of it for her, and she will very much enjoy this. So yes, I will absolutely do that. So
Great. I appreciate it.
We really have loved hearing the story. I know the listeners are going to love it, and it's
Thank
been
you.
great having you tell the story, Jocelyn.
It was good talking to you, Kat and Matt. Yeah, well, thank you for having me. Thank you for having. Thank you, and it's thank you for listening to my granny story. That's I think it's a great, she's a great person, and I think it's a great story. Even if you don't know her, there's a lot of good that you can hear from it. So, but thank you all for having me. I really appreciate, I'm honored.
Yeah,
So, thank you.
definitely.
Jocelyn, is there a way for if listeners want to contact you about the story? Is there any way that you'd prefer that?
Well, I mean, there's always, I guess, Facebook. I mean, there's that Facebook post that you had. If they want to,
Okay.
like, Facebook Messenger, would that be okay?
Yeah.
I'm new to social media. Yeah, that would be great. Sure.
Sure. All right. So, because I expect there to be a lot of really positive feedback about
Yeah.
this.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Oh, awesome. Yeah. Facebook. Yeah. Facebook and the Facebook post and Facebook Messenger. Sure. Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah.
Okay.
So if the listeners want to send a congratulations card to your grandmother, is that possible?
Yes. So you can just mail it. I don't know their address off the top of my head. It's the Christian Care Center in Corbin, Kentucky.
Okay.
That might be enough to get it there, but it's P.O. Box something, but I don't want to say it wrong and then it goes to the wrong place. But it's the Christian Care Nursing Center in Corbin, Kentucky.
All right, and that's for Opal Ty, who is,
Opal Tai. Yes.
who now is a college graduate.
Yes. Oh, Opal Granny.
Great. Well, thank you so much again. And Matt, you want to do our closing?
Sure. So again, as always, if you have any questions, concern, comments, or criticisms, you can contact Kat because she's good at handling all that. And that's I write. What is it now, Kat? I write
Please.
plays. Yeah, I write plays at Outlook.com. Or if you really have to, you can write to me at Matt at, or no, let's see, what is it? Wow, I'm drawing a blank. So you can write me in two places. Two places. Matt at backstorysessions.com. No. Backstorysessions@gmail.com. Or you can write me at Matt at level11ventures.com. And we'll, get back to you and try and implement some of your ideas. Again, we want to thank you for being here and telling us your story. It was pretty cool. And
Thank you all for having me.
yeah. So, all right, we will talk to you all again soon. Kat, anything else?
No, I think that's all. A great episode.
All
Can't
right.
wait for everybody to hear it.
Yeah, with any luck, it'll be out on Sunday evening. Unless I push the wrong button again. But all right, so we are.